welcome to the 455th consecutive week of Cinema Psyops. I'm your host, Court, the guy that likes to record things out of order and pretend like we didn't already do an episode that's coming out later than this one. And joining me in that sneaky trickery is my co-host, Matt.
And when will then be now?
Soon.
Good.
Man, you should just make that the list of 10 that you still haven't given me.
No, that's definitely be on the list of 10. That's happening.
Yeah. I'm already giving, back to school is for both of us. That's the first episode. I already told everybody that's the first episode of season 10.
Back to school. Come on. Rodney Dangerfield as a diver. It's best.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something to look forward to for everyone. And, I had enough left over from the overindulgence thing that you and I are both excited to do, which I can't say just yet because I want to keep edging the audience on that. Because we're not even close to year 9 being over.
We're edging you. Yeah, you want the release so bad, but it's not happening.
Not yet. You don't get to know what year 10 is really going to be. Other than Matt gets a selection of 10, and there is about 6, I think, left over for me to be able to overindulge with. So I'm going to start putting movies in the list that I want to cover that normally we would never cover on this show.
All right.
I mean, like, literally, I choose anything that goes on this show. I mean, I say what is or is not a movie that gets covered on Cinema Psyops. That's really the
you are. You run Bartertown.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you're this is your show, man. I'm just here for the giggles.
Right. You know? But there's some movies that I've like thought about doing and I'm just like, man, how am I going to do a cover of this, you know, where I basically didn't, maybe I didn't have the courage to do it or whatever, but there's 6 of those that I'm going to pick out on top of the major celebratory, really long film series we're going to be covering as our year 10. And then the 10 episodes that you get on top of all of that.
Mm.
Plus back to school.
I can't wait till we review Love Actually. So, oh shit, did I say? Oh, I ruined it. Oh, damn it.
While I will reserve how Love Actually forms an annual Christmas tradition for myself and my wife for maybe my story time, I will not be covering that on this show. Probably not.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
But it will be my story time. I'll tell you how Love actually ends up working in around Christmas time with my wife and myself. So
sweet. All right.
Yeah, we strike an unholy bargain that I will tell
you. Yeah, it sounds it that way. I just the visual of Court watching Love Actually just brings me joy.
Yeah, it happens almost every Christmas, and there's a reason for that, and I will tell that story on a story time, and we're just going to keep edging everybody about everything.
Yeah, all right. I mean, because we really don't want to talk about this fucking movie, I guess.
Yeah, Mean Mother, 1972. Not terrible, not great. Very much run-of-the-mill Adamson. If you're moving forward from Dracula versus Frankenstein, because the film immediately following that you did was, sounded interesting. You know, if you're actually going to watch these and you're moving forward, I don't think you're going to be severely disappointed in this one. We will see better next week for sure. Everyone will probably know that it's a better made film. But this one at least has a couple of moments where you see Adamson trying a little harder, right? Like he's trying a little bit more. Like he doesn't want to just keep you in the seat so that he can keep your money. He wants you to kind of possibly want to come back or give him another shot at this point, it feels like.
Yeah, he's like, hey, come on, guys. I can make a good movie.
Right. Now, I did my clips in a hurry, so I'm sure there's going to be a racial slur or two. So I'm going to apologize to you, Matt, because you'll have to hear it. But if they pop up in my clips, I will cut them out because I'm pretty sure that there was like 2 or 3 that were recorded and I caught at least one of them. I don't know if I caught all 3. So when they pop up,
you're fine.
Yeah. I'll make sure I edit them out before the final show. Everybody will be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah.
Is that like we're saying the words? Is that like, you know, we're approving of it? It's in an old movie, man.
I'm going to remove it regardless of who says
it. Yeah, I mean, remove it regardless. I'm just saying. Yeah. I think everyone knows that we're not like promoting that.
Absolutely. And I'm not trying to pad out the episode with a little bit of extra pablum in any way, shape, or form at all.
No, not at all. Why would you? I mean, that is so ridiculous. We never add pablum just to, you know, cover a show. That's just delirious. That's delirious, sir.
All right. So this week for the Pirate Radio edit, because the film was released in 1972, I chose all songs released in 1972. Try to find a few things that maybe fit in with the easy breezy sort of way that some really dark and horrible things are handled in this film. So up first on the Pirate Radio edit for this week is Loggins and Messina with Your Mama Don't Dance, immediately following the Legion Patreon ad.
This'll keep it quiet.
Oh, hi there. I didn't see you. You caught me cutting a new show.
I'm Bo Ransdell, and I'm one of the many creators you can find on Legion Podcasts. I said quiet! My fellow podcasters and I work hard to bring you the best in horror podcasting, but that comes at a cost.
Wouldst thou like to live deliciously?
Not that, but also, yes. No, what I'm getting at is that there are server costs, costs for good microphones and software for editing, all the things that make our shows, you know, fun to listen to. And you can help. If you're enjoying the shows on legionpodcasts.com or in the Legion Network available on iTunes and Stitcher, just about anywhere you can download a podcast, really, you can help us out and get a little something for your trouble at patreon.com/legionpodcasts. For just $2 a month, you get a pair of movie commentaries exclusive to Patreon, and for $5, you can also join us for a monthly screening of a movie. All of that available on patreon.com/legionpodcasts. We appreciate it, and thank you for listening. Now, back to the cutting room.
They're talking about dancing and rock and rolling. I think they're insinuating something else.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, I just like to think they are talking about rock and roll and dancing.
Well, the actual term rock and roll is basically what a car would do whenever kids are having sex in the back of it. So that's true. Where the term actually does come from.
But your dad and your mom, and well, it's a good song.
You can definitely stop singing it, though, because you're ruining it for everyone, including me.
You know, you could just be nice on occasion. I'm just telling you, you could be more supportive for my singing career.
You have no singing ability and are tone deaf as fuck, and it hurts everyone's ears when you make noise.
Yeah, but you know, you're a fart head, so fuck off.
All right, 1972's Mean Mother. The first 30 minutes, I did it in three blocks here. The film opens with a guy standing around smoking and no sound. It cuts to a car pulling up to a lady and dialogue. So that's our first clip.
How you doing, Mama?
Where you been? I gotta have some shit.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I know. But you've been running behind.
I told you I'd work it out. I work it out with all three of you.
You do your work, chemistry. All I want is the money. Come on, Mama. Get it out. I'd almost bring you up to date. What you gonna do about today?
Please, man. I gotta have some shit.
Mama, go back in your box.
Hey.
Why don't you get a purse like everybody else?
All right, so she's a prostitute who's hooked on drugs. She owed them about $20, and for the last batch or a little bit more, and then they find that she had like another $20 on her that she was hiding out, or $22, and that got her a very sizable amount of drugs. So that's all that was happening in that clip right there, folks.
Well, she got a lot of drugs, you know, and I mean, and that was the old days when that kind of, you know, you could get that kind of, you know, kind of stash for $20, man. $20 doesn't get you shit now.
They leave, and then we see that guy that was just standing around smoking. Apparently, he's on a rooftop. The three drug dealing pimps get out of the car and sojourn towards the lone dude just loitering up there. They approach him on the roof. There is more fucking dialogue. I am fucking lazy. That is our fucking second fucking clip.
Beauregard Jones. Nice to see you again,
you
man.
You son of a bitch, man. I've been waiting here for 3 hours. I missed that match flight back to Nam. My ass is mud.
I thought you might be running out of time. You got my package.
You got my bread. This ain't even a tenth of the price you owe me.
I know, but you understand. It cost me a lot to operate. I got a big payroll.
You... What's wrong with you, Jim? Are you crazy?
You should have taken the money, Bo. You really should have.
Okay. So I got a little pissed. You give me the bread and then I'll take off. But the next time you want something, man, it's got to be cash up front.
But Okay, Bo. Come
here. All right, prick. Now.
Hold it. I wouldn't do that.
I told you I had a big payroll. The law is on my side. You're just another dead shot resisting arrest.
All right, so a shootout ensues, and the loitering dude kills the pigs and then tells the surviving cheater that he has to pay for fucking over people. So he shoots the man in a pillow around his stomach, and a squib blows out a bunch of said pillows strapped to his guts. It's like literally you see cotton batting go flying out when this pop goes off. It's really sad.
Mm-hmm. It is what it is on that one.
The loitering dude must be our titular character, the mean mother, because he lives, wipes his fingerprints off of the gun, and then the opening credits roll to the song Mean Mother, with a replay of everything we just saw wrapped around with the credits to pad out the runtime of the film. The only lyrics of the song Mean Mother are just the words Mean Mother and how something along the lines of you are such a mean mother or something like that. So it's fucking disco, right? I mean,
you're a mean mother.
Yeah, they're really trying to get that sort of blaxploitation theme going with this. Mm-hmm. And it's a very half-hearted effort that you can tell they aren't trying that hard.
They're not trying that hard. And it comes out and you can tell a lot.
After the credits, we see soldiers that appear to be Vietnam era wandering around a field of fresh grown trees that is definitely not Vietnam.
Yeah. No, definitely not Vietnam.
Several of them are shot, and then we see our titular mean mother, who is wandering off alone, abandons his helmet and gun, and is hiding in some underbrush. He has an inner monologue about almost dying that sounds a lot like dialogue. Fuck it, that's our third clip.
I almost bought it that time. It's getting to be worse than selling dope. I'm just gonna have to find me a quiet place.
Well, Sergeant, why return rather than go on?
Haven't you heard? There are bad guys out there shooting at us good guys.
That's what bugs me. As long as you know they're out there. Why did you quit?
Now, just a minute, Lieutenant! It's more than trying to win real estate! We gotta win the people over to our side before we can win any war! But they don't want us here! Banks! You two! Banks!
Put Sergeant Scott under arrest.
Hold him for field court-martial.
All you have to do is behave, and you'll get out in 5 years.
All right, I cut it out, but the commanding officer takes a swipe at the junior officer, who is supposed to just take the beating and not try and fight back. But he turns on the superior officer and beats the ever-loving fuck out of him in front of all of the junior officers, which is a big no-no, and therefore he is off to military prison that we heard at the end of the clip.
Yes, time for you to go, sir.
On his way to military prison, the MPs are shot dead, and the dude in danger splits after killing the Viet Cong soldiers. Our titular character must know him because he shoots in that general vicinity and orders him towards him, and which that is creating some dialogue. I chopped it down a little bit, and that's our fourth clip.
Move it, man. Come on.
Well, looks like we got rid of him for a minute.
Lay it on me, so brother, you bailed me out again.
Don't sweat it. Give me a smoke.
Hey, so what's Charlie Company doing way back here?
Well, they ain't chumps.
Well, knock off that soul brother crap, man. You ain't got no cool. And you couldn't get soul if a pigeon flew over your head and dropped it all over you.
Hey, Bo, you and me, we're in the same boat.
No way, man. I followed your uncool crap from the time that shave tail jacked you up all the way through that trial.
You smell like you've been running, too.
Right, man, right. But it's like the patrols told me. The man's got your name, rank, and serial number.
Patrols?
Nah, not around here. I've been making it for about a month, scamming patrols that I'm a scout. And they lay a little food on me and an ammunition, weapon, I'm gone, man. I'm split.
Man, that proves my point. We ought to team up.
No way, baby. My mama didn't raise no fool. What's more, I'm legally dead. I put my tags on a dead blood, and I took his. And since we all look alike, I'm grooving, man. I'm going to Spain, and I don't need no janksy sucker like you on my tail.
But the two of us together
could not live as cheaply as one. You just remember who saved your sorry tail. Go to Rome. Spain ain't big enough for both of us.
Hey, Bo, see ya.
Not till you change your luck and get some salt.
It cuts from this to a flight schedule and then to Joe Smith, quote unquote, trying to cut a deal with a guy in our next clip.
I'm sorry I can't help you. But you must have a cargo plane that's going that way.
That is true, Mr. I didn't get you a name.
Smith. Joe Smith.
As I was saying, Mr. Smith, yes, there is a cargo plane. One leaves Karachi every day.
Great. I'll help load up here and unload at Rome.
Mr. Smith, we don't carry laborers on board. Ground crews attend the loading and unloading.
Mr. Cummings, please help me. I've got to be there as quickly as possible.
I'm afraid the only way for you to get there, Mr. Smith, is to purchase a ticket.
I haven't any money. I lost it.
Then ask your embassy for help. I'm afraid we can do nothing for you.
Wait outside. My name is Seymour. Daniel Seymour. You lost my bag.
Follow me to my hotel, room 217. Don't phone, don't ask questions now.
I heard you ask for a job at the ticket office. Where do you want to go?
West.
I can get you as far as Rome.
Yeah? How?
Carry something for me. What's your name?
Joe Scott.
Got a passport, Joe?
No, I lost it. Just an ID card.
How'd you get this far?
Walking.
What am I to carry? Drugs?
Nope.
No drugs. Your ID is no good. You'll have to have a passport. I'll get you one.
Just like that? Okay, what am I supposed to carry?
Vest. A little heavy, but not conspicuous. Take off your jacket.
When do we leave?
This afternoon. Try that on for size.
Damn, that's heavy.
Well, feathers are heavy if you got enough of them. 200 rare coins in that thing.
What makes you think you can trust me?
I don't. I'll be on the same plane with you. We don't know each other, remember that.
How do you know I'll show up at the airport? And if I do, what's in it for me?
It's a free ride. You show up. I give you the vest in the men's room at the airport, plus your ticket and passport.
It cuts to an airplane, then Joe and the smuggler exiting the airplane to get a car. Then it cuts to them exiting the car to go into a collector shop of some sort. Then it cuts to them unloading the coins on a broker of some sort as he takes his sweet fucking time sorting through and stacking the fucking coins. And then getting into his safe to toss some money at the guy, who then gives our buddy Joe some of this. And it's all done in silence to pad out the film. Then we finally have some fucking dialogue and our sixth clip.
Shall we talk about a job?
Joe's looking for steady work. Can we use him?
For the time being, there is nothing to do. Something's going over to Switzerland by car next week. He can start that. We don't deal always in gold. Other things bring a nice profit.
When I get the bankroll up to $5,000, I'm off to Canada.
Yeah, I said the same thing a couple of years ago, but I'm still here. Joe, just so there's no misunderstanding, you're working as my assistant, eh? Everything goes through me.
Anything you say. Where do I live? Any ideas?
Yeah, check into a hotel for a couple of days. We'll look for an apartment. And, since you're working, you can take me to dinner, okay?
Hey, Antonio. Sempre un briago. Here, here. Ciao.
Let's have a drink. No good-looking gal in here. She might help you find an apartment.
Come, Maria.
Hi, Dad.
Teresa here?
Yeah, she's inside.
She's charming. Hey, Miss...
Ben.
Ciao, Teresa. Where have you been?
Where have I been? I've been here every night.
Good, then I'll buy you a drink.
You know I'm not allowed to drink or sit with customers. This is a very serious place.
I'd like you to meet my friend, Joe Pearson.
Hello, Joe.
Hi.
Joe thinks you'll stick around for a while. Do you think you can help find an apartment?
Well, there is one in my building if...
Great. Listen, why don't we lunch tomorrow and then I can see the apartment.
All right.
Smooth, Joe. Real smooth.
Smooth move, X-Lax.
It cuts from that scene in a very groovy bar to some dude playing a beautiful melody on a guitar in a bamboo-themed restaurant of some sort. There is more dialogue with our titular character of the mean mother and our seventh clip.
I have chick dick. Do not get your papers and your accent pretty soon. The police are going to throw you in a Bastille. And then, baby, forget it. No one will find you.
Yeah, but that steamship captain that I sail out of Saigon with told me that for the hash I lay on tape. He also said that contact here, you, Guadalupe Cortez, turned me into some action with a little bread.
He lied. I'm not in that business anymore. I have no more contacts.
I've turned you on to a few things. Yeah, a few dime bags and shit and stuff like that. And a few odd jobs with an American tourist from Iowa. Man, I'll be here for the next 100 years. Look it, I got a natural sense of rhythm, man. It's just going to the dogs, you know? I gotta go to Canada or maybe, southern Sweden, where I'm appreciated, you know? Yemeni, the natives are coming and they are waiting for daddy to come and change their luck.
Buenos dias, senorita. Can I be of assistance to you?
Cerveza.
Thanks. You always drink by yourself? For company?
Senor, please, just leave me alone.
The lady that entered the bar at the end of the clip shoos away our mean mother, and then two men come into the bar looking as though they are up to no good. As the lady gets all shifty-eyed and acting all sorts of sus, she approaches our mean mother character, and there is more dialogue and our eighth clip.
Hey, change your mind, huh? Great.
Senor, por favor.
Yeah?
Can I talk to you?
Sure, about what?
About them. I need help. You're the only person that can help me.
Lady, I can't afford to help myself right now.
Please, there's no telling what they'll do. Take this. Hide it. Please, keep it. At least they won't get it.
Who
I'll solve all your problems.
Okay,
ready? Let's get her.
Now, look, I know you're running a game with all these tears and stuff, you know?
You better go now.
Go now while you can.
Hey, do you see where the man's coming from? He means split. So split, black boy.
Yes, it must. I ain't done nothing to nobody. I ain't ever bothered nobody in my life. I just a poor black...
The fight is clunky and poorly choreographed, and our mean mother beats them to a pulp, performs a coup de grace on the main dude with a candelabra, taking the lady in hand and dragging her out of there, and that is the end of the first 30 minutes of the film.
Not bad. I mean, it's a 30-minute start, man, and you get some excitement in it.
Yeah, so our boys, Bo and Joe, Bo is the quote-unquote mean mother that we saw at the beginning of the film. They were both in Vietnam together. Apparently, Bo got some leave time at some point and was doing a drug deal that they had him waiting to where he was going to miss his depot to get back to Vietnam, which is something that happened every now and then. Soldiers would get some time back home for a little while. It did happen. And then they would go back and be deployed again for another however long if they signed up again or what have you in Vietnam. But it that did happen. So it's believable that, you know, he'd be able to be home, but be there long enough to run a drug deal. I don't know, but whatever. So he's then back in Vietnam, and then he helps Joe escape and helps Joe survive. Joe goes to Rome on his command, and then he goes to Spain on his choice, and then he ends up getting mixed up with this lady, as we see in the bar, where Joe is getting mixed up with some smuggling rings because they basically had to flee a war that they didn't want to be any part of anymore.
We did want to be a part of that damn thing.
Yeah, and you know, nobody really can blame them, but legally speaking, they're in trouble, so they really don't have much of a choice other than to perform more illegal acts because they're both fugitives right now.
Yeah, right. And that's unfortunately what happens when you skip out on a war, even though nobody should have to fight like that.
It's interesting that Adamson is telling the story in the fashion that he is. I definitely feel like he gives more of a shit about this when he's trying a little bit harder.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this, these last couple weeks, like, or this week and next week's movies, they run pretty good on a story.
Yeah, they're a lot more solidly edited and everything. I think he's finally run out of like clip show movies, and he needs to actually start.
In real, like, honest to God stories, like real shit.
Yeah, there's a through line that makes sense in these now. Finally, after all of these films,
finally we got something out of them. Yeah, these last couple films that have or these in these two movies that we're doing that are tells a story, a real story, a story you can follow along with, not something that, oh, we're starting with this and now we're going to do a 180 and go a whole different part. And you're like, why?
Yeah, this is a very well thought out plot line compared to all of his previous films. Compared to actual films, still not so well thought out. But
No. I mean, yeah. I'm saying it's still him, but it's good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we can go on to the next 30. I just do it in three blocks, essentially. It's the first 30, second 30, and then final 27-ish. So
that was actually not a bad idea to do it that way when you get like an hour 30 movie.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's working out okay. All right. So the next 30 starts with cutting away from the fight to the lady soothing our main man, Bo, on the couch. They have some dialogue, and that's our next clip.
That feels better, doesn't it?
Oh, the only thing that feels better is being out of the place. Oh, I can't afford to get in more trouble. Who else dies anyway? And they never played for keeps.
They were after this package.
Well, who are they?
Oh, they work for this syndicate.
Oh, man. That's all I need. Jesus.
It's not so bad. I got a buyer for the $20 plates. Get us a lot of money for a long time. And, we've got each other.
The dialogue leads to some making out between the two of them. She says something about getting ready and then heads to another room. The mean mother Bo kicks back excited and says he is ready, and she comes out of the bathroom with a gun and starts to threaten him as he reminds her that he was the one who helped her. She takes off and he laments this unfortunate series of events, and it cuts from that to what appears to be Rome as the woman from the bar, I fucks Joe, playing the piano, and there's some more dialogue and our 10th clip.
Joe?
I thought I told you to stay in bed.
I've been thinking. You know Marie, one of the girls that works at the club. She's getting married.
Oh?
Joe, why don't we get married?
We've had all this out before, Therese.
You don't really love me, do you? Otherwise, we would.
It's not a matter of loving. Now, be sensible. You can't marry a man who's a fugitive. A man who has no identity. Can't you ever get that through your head?
Why don't you give yourself up? It's your only chance for ever being happy again, even if I can't share it with you.
What's that supposed to mean?
It's something I've felt for a long time. Tell me, Joe, if you would ever go back to America, with or without giving yourself up, you wouldn't take me, would you?
That's a lot of nonsense.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep on nagging you. It's only because I love you so much.
Joy?
Hey, Bo, what are you doing here in Rome?
Hi, Joy. Well, things got a bit hot for me in Spain, so I thought I'd better split.
Yeah, I'm glad to see you. Hey, I missed you.
I missed you, too. But I'm in a lot of trouble right now. I need you to help me find some guy. His name's Joel Scott, and I know everything I know about him is right here.
Well, I'll check it out for you.
Well, meet me at the Naples Apartments. Get on it right away. I got a pad there, okay? All right.
Avanti, avanti. Ah, oh, Signorina Joy, I'm so glad you come to my house.
Oh, you're a clown, but I dig you, and I don't want to lose you. You've made me feel like a woman again.
All right, so what's coming down?
That broad who set you up good. I mean, she split the country. She used you as her fall guy. And she's got the word out that you stole those $20 plates and you're going to push them.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Joy hears all and sees all and tells little. Last night I had a client, one of the syndicate top dudes.
Yeah?
I overheard a conversation. And you're it. Found your friend Joe.
Oh, great. Come on. Look, you got to split out the back, okay? Everything is all cool. I'll meet you at your bed.
Who is it?
Now, soul brother. Gonna speak to you in our language.
Come on, you'll make it easier on yourself
if you don't speak. Come on, brother, blow off your balls. The plates. Where are the plates?
I know nothing about no plates.
You better find them. Because the next time I see you, if you don't have them, you're dead.
Oh, Joy? Joy?
Hey, you all right?
I guess so. Where's your phone from? Hello? Hello, Joe? Yeah, Joe, this is Bo. Right, Beauregard Jones. Right, yeah. I'm in Rome now. Yeah, right. Sounds good to me. Okay, man, see you then. Ciao. Baby, I'm gonna meet Joe tomorrow. He's been hired to help this ballet dancer get away from the commie. Her name is Nadia Krashenska, and he's getting $5,000 for the job. With that kind of money, we can all get to Canada. He's on his way right now to pick up the first 2,500.
Yes, sir.
Cognac.
Thank you.
Pearson?
Mr. Pearson?
Yes. I understand you speak English.
Yes. How do you know?
I represent an American newspaper, Miss Krasenska. I enjoyed your dancing.
Thank you.
You like Rome?
I don't know. We have so little time to ourselves.
Your glass is empty. Let me get you a little more champagne. This is a fine theater, isn't it? I'm the one who's going to help you escape. Be careful. We may be observed. We'll separate now. Move around, but keep to the edge of the crowd. I'll join you again. Thank you, Miss Krasenska. Remember, whatever happens, follow me.
Sono felice di darvi il benvenuto nel mio paese. Le guerre per disgrazia lontane.
Don't turn around. In a moment, the place will be in darkness. By the switchboard, you'll see a light. Make for it at once. Leave the rest to me.
Nadia, take the flashlight. Kill him in Russia. I'll kill him if he moves.
The escape scene is cut to the woman that we saw helping Bo earlier in the shower. She is now getting out of the shower. She is completely naked while she's drying off. They show just about everything the entire time.
I saw everything.
Thank you, movie. She then
Thank
has,
you, movie.
She then has some dialogue with Bo, so that's our 11th clip.
What's the matter, Bo?
I gotta get moving. Hey, I got a heavy car, baby.
Don't go.
Look, it's getting late. I got decisions to make. The government, the syndicate, everybody's on my tail. And I gotta meet Joe. Maybe he can help me get out of the country.
Take me a while.
Look, they're gonna be after you now. You crossed them when you helped me. I'll meet you later, okay?
I don't care.
I could dig having some soul in my corner. Yeah.
He pulls off her towel. We see her ass this time in the nudity. They get making love with the love on camera in a very unflattering shot. And then it cuts to our 12th clip.
You've got to get out of Rome. If you're caught, the Italians would have to hand you over. Last night, I thought I did a good job, but now I know different. Someone used that blackout for murder. Krokov must be quite a popular guy.
I told you, he once was head of the secret police.
The old routine, huh? But his interest in you, that's what beats me. Something ring a bell?
When we left, each woman in the company was given some jewelry to wear at last night's reception. Ordered to, in fact.
Who by?
An official from the Ministry of Propaganda. I was given this ring. Could there be any connection?
With Krokov?
Maybe. He could have been making plans not to go back.
Let's have a look. No, the idea is good, but the ring isn't. No, it couldn't be this. Your escape was worth $5,000 to him.
But why? That's the only thing I was certain to wear last night.
I've an idea. Stay here. Don't go out. Don't answer the door. Take a look at this.
It's gold. Mid-European, I'd say.
And a stone.
A stone. Makes an impressive-looking ring. You want to sell it? I'll give you a little bit more than I give anyone else.
That'd be a change. How much? A
couple of hundred.
No. Take the stone out for me, will you?
What did you hope to find?
Valuable stamp, maybe. Something I might have sold.
Do you want me to put it back?
Yeah, put it back.
What did he want?
Who?
Don't give me that who business. You know who, Joe.
You've been following him.
Well, I brought him here, so I look after him.
Then you arrive at the right moment. Unfortunately, I need some help. Come on.
Well?
He has something worth a lot of money, and he doesn't know.
What?
An emerald cut diamond worth $50,000. But it looks worthless. Covered up with a thin coat of paste. Very cleverly done.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
After this clip, we see a man with a scar on his face creeping around Joe's apartment building, and Joe gets there in time to get a bad feeling about him, but immediately loses him after he gets out on the street. Joe gets inside his apartment and goes inside to berate his lady, and our next clip.
Hello, darling.
How long have you been here? I thought you were with Maria.
I came home about an hour ago.
Did a man call or come to the apartment?
No. Is everything all right, Joe? How did your business meeting go last night?
Fine, fine.
What's wrong then? You look so worried.
Do I?
Joe, something went wrong last night, didn't it? Oh, I knew it would. I felt it.
God damn it, would you shut up? I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. But I've got a lot on my mind. A lot. I've got to go out again.
A lot of dramatic hits from people like just having to leave an apartment.
Right? Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
It's what it feels like when you have anxiety and you're told you have to go people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Why?
It cuts from this to the mean mother pulling over to a honeypot trap of some sort where a woman looking hot in a bikini pulls a gun on him after he checks the car out. And it turns out she is there to get the plates like she knew he would be there. They fight and he gets the gun off of her while being a bit rapey before removing her distributor cap from her car and then stripping off her clothing, including her top. Here she is topless, not really under her own volition, so your mileage may vary on that, depending upon whether or not you can separate the what's going on in the movie with the fact that it's just an actress that's topless of her own volition. So that's your decision on whether or not it's a thank you movie.
You know what? Just there's been plenty of other thank you movies. I'm just going to say no thanks to this one.
Cuts from this to Joe waiting on something as Bo arrives to say hello, and that is our 14th clip.
Hey, so, brother, you look like you're really on top of it.
Well, man, looks don't always tell the truth. I'm in a lot of trouble. I gotta get out of this place. It seems really bad.
Yeah, I heard about your jam. Listen, I've got something really good I think will take us out of this dump and put us on easy streets.
Oh, yeah.
I've been into some heavy action, and, well, it's a good thing you called and you did. I'm about ready to move out.
Well, you know me, like I always said, two can live as cheap as one. I know a guy that can get us out of here if you got the bread.
Canadian Sea Captain?
Well, today he's a man.
Okay, here's a pitch. Now, tomorrow morning, I'll take care of it, and I'll meet you here. Then we'll leave the country together. I'm in some trouble. I might need your help.
We'll join the club. You know I'm not traveling light these days. I got abroad.
Me too. Okay, tomorrow, same time, then Canada.
Righteous, man. But let's clear the air. It's the syndicate that's after me.
Man, if we can handle the con, we can handle the syndicate.
They both drive off and it cuts to Joe back at his apartment. And that is our 15th clip.
Hello, Joe.
My, you're all dressed up.
You bought it for me.
That's right, I did. Where are you going?
To a wedding.
In the afternoon?
Most weddings are in the afternoon nowadays. But of course you wouldn't know anything about this subject.
Whose wedding is it?
Marie, I told you the day we bought this. I'm going to the reception afterwards. Do you want to come?
Aren't you going to work?
It's my night off. Somebody's taking my place.
Therese, you look great.
And somebody's taking my place here, aren't they?
Therese, if you're trying to pick a fight with me, don't. I'm not quite up to it.
Can we talk? Now that you're here...
We are talking.
Why not tell me who she is? We can't go on like this, Joe. I remember when you were in love with me. If you didn't have the shadow hanging over you, we might have done something about it. If you would have given yourself up, I would have waited.
Not that again, please.
Yes, that again. We could have made things so different, got something out of life. There can't ever be anybody else for me, Joe. Without you, I would be completely lost. Alone. I know it sounds corny. But I know myself, and you're in some sort of troubles and not sharing it with me, and that hurts too.
Therese, I've come to wait for a telephone call. If it turns out as I hope, all the trouble I'm in will be gone for good. Can't we leave it at that?
Who are you expecting to call, or don't you want me to know?
Dan Seymour.
I saw you got his note.
Yeah, this morning. You were asleep.
Did you meet him?
Yeah, he paid me back some money he owed me.
Is that what he wanted to see you for?
Yes.
But why didn't he leave it here? Didn't he think I'd give it to you? I asked him some questions yesterday about you. I know I shouldn't have, but I did.
He mentioned you'd had a talk.
He found out beforehand from the concierge downstairs. She told me this afternoon.
What would he want to do that for?
I don't know. But I wouldn't trust him too far if I were you. Bye, darling. Who is it?
I've been sent by Joe.
I hope you don't know how to use that thing, Miss Grushenska. I told you I was sent by Joe to give you some instructions.
I don't understand.
You're on your way to England. Boat leaves early tomorrow morning.
But where's Joe?
He's with the captain of the ship. You're to give me a ring with a green stone. That one, I guess.
What for?
You'll see a man wearing it at the boat. He'll get you on board.
A woman's ring?
Don't waste time, Miss Grushenska.
What do I do now?
Wait for Joe.
She won't have long to wait, will she? I heard most of that dialogue. I think we better have a little talk, Dan. Now do some explaining, Dan. You've been following me around, haven't you? You overacted, Dan, trying to convince Therese you didn't know whether I was in or not. Never question anyone like you did the concierge. They talk. How long have you been following me around? How long?
I know a lot, Joe. More than you do, in fact.
Give me the ring. Start talking.
Okay. After you agree to cut me in.
Why?
It's only fair. I can be a big help to you.
Like that phony ship captain of yours?
He's no phony. He's very real.
Only we weren't going to be on the ship. Come on, Dan. What's it all about? What part does this play?
A big one. That's worth $50,000 to Vittorio.
We're going to see a jeweler.
What do you want me for? I don't have your stupid place.
Yeah, but your boyfriend does. If he wants to see you alive again, he'll give him to us.
Keep the bitch here. We'll go make a deal with her boyfriend. We'll get the place.
She's going nowhere. Come on over here, huh?
You must be out of your skull. That bitch tricked him and skipped town.
Just sit down here, huh?
The henchman ties her up, and that takes us over the full hour mark, and now we have nothing but the run to the end.
Yeah, all right, cool. Let's make our run.
All right, fuck it. We'll just make it a short episode. The run to the end starts with the henchman tying up Bo's lady, as we were talking about earlier, as the trouble with the plates continues. She asks for a drink from the thug, and he acquiesces to her request as she uses a honeypot trick on him, getting him to grope her titty a little, pretending she's got an itch. He gets frustrated from this and immediately starts to strip to the waist and falls face first into her honeypot trick, including untying her so that she can grab his junk as the porno music kicks in and they get after making with the fucking.
That's romantic.
Well, they make with the fucking and it starts with some very awkward deep mouth kissing that looks very uncomfortable for both actors.
Yeah, that is definitely something. That's a choice.
The making with the fucking goes to the ground and the breast fondling and Roman hands begin to pad out the film with the kind of thing people actually don't mind watching, which is other people fucking.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Everyone's got a little voyeur in them.
It cuts from this to the man with the scar on his face climbing the stairs to pick the lock of what I assume is Joe's apartment. It cuts from that to the post-coital afterglow as Joe's lady decides to use the chlorinated water in the pool to wash off the slobber left on her body from fucking the henchman.
That was nice.
She is fully nude for that, so this is kind of a thank you movie, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're all right.
She coaxes the dude into the pool for what might be round two as he decides to suck on some titties, and the camera pans up and away into the sun and then cuts to our 16th clip.
I'm cutting you bastards in because I need ready cash, and I know you've got it. You can have this ring for $40,000. That leaves you an easy 10 grand to carve up between.
You're asking too much, Joe.
Then I'll go elsewhere.
Can you, with what we know, take what I choose to give you? What else can you do?
Fill you full of lead? You look scared. You're up against violence, something you've always managed to avoid. For years you've been living off guys like me, taking in all we smuggled and giving peanuts in return. This is one time it isn't going to work. Now you've got every kind of currency in there, I know it. Do you want me to take the keys off a dead man and help myself?
I'll give you 30,000.
Cash, now!
As long as he's got the gun, I'll have my cut now.
It cuts back to Joe's lady getting dressed after the fucking, and she is shockingly double-crossed by her kidnapper after he gets the sex he wanted out of her, that he will not let her go and that she needs to get back in the chair. We see a hand that could be Bo's grab the guy's gun, and she knees him in the nuts. Fuck it, that was some dialogue as she does it, so I backed it up, and that's our 17th clip.
Back to the chair.
But you promised.
I lie a lot.
You fucking bastard!
Bitch! Come on, baby. We gotta meet Joe.
I got 30,000 off him. That ring was given you, Nadia. So this money is legally yours. I'm keeping 5. Is that all right with you?
Of course. I'm very grateful.
The ship sails at dawn. Give the captain 150. Once in England, you're safe. Make straight for the Foreign Office.
What do I tell them?
Everything. They know what's been happening. Leave my identity out of it, that's all.
Okay. Joe returns to his apartment to find the man with the scar on his face inside already. He shoots the man dead and finds that his girlfriend has been harmed in some way that is currently undetectable, but she comes to enough to tell him what happened. They have a lover's discussion and he tells her that she needs a doctor. She tells him she would have given her life for him and then dies, so I guess she is good on that promise.
Yeah, she did do that.
The movie then cuts to Joe outside of an American embassy, considering giving himself up. He is told he is too early and states that he is in fact too late. The film then cuts to Bo and his woman as a man delivers the money to get the fuck out of Rome to them, and it has a note. So that is our penultimate clip.
Are you Beauregard Jones?
Yeah. What's that, a note?
He gave himself up.
No soul sucker.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about your friend.
Yeah, son of a gun. Well, this time he bailed me out. Well, get in the back. Get out quick. Hurry up.
After it. This starts a car chase, which can only end in a crash and the death of someone, as most Al Adamson films do. The odds of our heroes surviving are good in this, as it is the titular character, the mean mother and his lady, but the music is trying to convince us that they are in very much serious danger of dying at any second.
Yes, of course.
The chase pads out the runtime to the end by at least an additional 7 minutes as Bo gets out of the car and into a fist fight with the thugs on his trail. It is again a clunky and poorly choreographed fight, but we really need this film to be about 87 minutes for some reason, so it just keeps going and going for no
reason. Come on, it has to be. Listen, it's not 87 minutes. What the fuck are we even doing around here?
Joe has the upper hand till the dudes with guns take him in with the rest of the folks that are there. There is dialogue and our final clip.
Come on, you. Against the car.
The plate.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Come on, where are they? 5,000 lousy dollars. Show Mr. Jones we mean business.
Hold it. I'll blow your balls off.
Get back. Get over there. Just don't anybody move. Come on, hand it over. The 5 G's. Get over there. If anybody moves, shoot them. Watch them. Come on, baby. Come on, get in. So long, motherfuckers.
Oh, baby, nothing's gonna keep us from Canada now.
As you hear in the clip, he shoots up the car motors of all of the bad guys and the couple escapes with their lives, but just barely, I guess, and they appear home free and laughing as they literally drive off into the sunset. The movie ends with no fucking credits. Mm. Like I said, not the worst of his films. Certainly has at least a flowing through line that you can follow. I mean, one guy gets into trouble, ends up contacting the other, and gets bailed out throughout the movie. It establishes their sort of friendship where they help each other out because they're both fugitives on the run that have, you know, repeatedly saved each other's lives. Although that makes it seem like Bo was owed like $1 million from Joe. than what needed to be done. But Joe really does come through in the clutch and does apparently what is supposed to be considered the right thing all around, including turning himself in
for reasons.
I think he just turns himself in because of the guilt, because like he wanted to take her with him to Canada and then they were going to build a life. Because
life that he promised her.
Yeah, but like that got taken away because of the coin that he was wrapped up in, and she wouldn't go away and hide like he told her to make sure that she was safe. So this is what ended up happening. It's really tragic, and there's like a little bit of a dour down thing with him, but we're really following the quote-unquote mean mother the entire time, and that was just sort of a side story to help pad out the film.
Yeah, exactly.
It's weird.
You got a lot of padding on that, though. I mean, you know, it is what it is, but Jesus.
This is still very much two separate movies that he kind of like took two ideas and jammed them together and made them friends so that we could follow two different through lines of Eurocrime, essentially. I think the mean mother guy has a real like soft spot for the honeypot trap, because like he falls for it like twice, basically. The lady needs his help and, you know, asks him for help and gives him the plates and everything. Basically, what he should have done is just been like, fuck you, and kept the plates. And then he could have been hiding the plates on top of that. And, you know, that's what got his lady into danger, and both men were in trouble, you know. And I think if both men ended up losing their ladies because they made a choice to try and grab for some money when they could, that would make sense, you know, like story-wise and all of that. But it's really disjointed where one just happens to luck out, where his lady uses her feminine wiles to charm a guy thinking that it'll get her set free, but it doesn't.
Right.
I mean, that's just a weird consequence. There's a lot of story choices in this that I'm like, what? That doesn't
make sense. You're just like, what in the hell is going on here?
Yeah, but he's definitely leaning more towards sex film with what he's trying to make in this film. And then like the sex is more prominent in the next movie. And then we get into sex films that he's making proper by like 74, 75-ish at that point. There should be some more enjoyment, because there's like two different stewardess movies that are just sex films that Adams made that are on the horizon in the future as well. So we're going to get there.
We're getting there. We're going to get it.
Yeah. Well, there's some story choices that were confusing in this. It's still a through line that you can follow. And I think maybe the most egregious thing is just the idea that the lady would seduce her fucking kidnapper under the premise that she would think that that would actually get her loose. When in reality, the guy just clearly was just going to use her. But I think that was just an excuse to get more sex in the film to keep people like me interested.
Probably. And people like me. People like all of us.
People like that listen to this show that like to see sex in movies.
Yeah, pretty much.
Perverts. That's what I'm talking about. Sex people. We're not perverted, we're sex positive.
yeah there you go.
All right, I think I could probably pad out this episode a little bit with my story time, but first we're going to take a break here on the Pirate Radio Edit, also from 1972. We're going to have Dr. Hook on the Medicine Show with the song cover of the Rolling Stone, and then right after that we'll have our story time. that the first time you've heard that song, Matt, or have you heard that before?
Yeah, I think so. No, that's probably the first time.
I wonder how many people out in the audience, that's the first time they've ever heard that Dr. Hook song on the cover of Rolling Stone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. unfortunately, the first time I've heard about that will not be my next story time. Story time.
Story time.
If you ever get sick of hearing that live, you just let me know. We can stay clear of that. But I'll keep playing.
I will never get sick of hearing that. Who the fuck is you?
I don't know why I always want to truncate things on the show, especially if it's just that little clip that brings you so much joy.
I know. I like it.
All right. So for my story time, I'm going to tell everybody about how I end up watching Love Actually pretty much every Christmas and have been for quite a few years now with my wife.
Yes.
I'm not sure exactly which Christmas that this started, but my wife was really, really wanting to watch a romantic Christmas movie with me. And like, I was game to do something as long as I could make fun of it. But she was like, no, you can't. I want this to actually be, you know, kind of a couple's experience, like where we're going to watch something romantic and, you know, some snuggling involved and everything. And I was like, all right, so let's strike an unholy bargain. What you want is a deal, right? And really, yes. In reality, what you want is a deal. You want something and I want something. So we're going to strike an unholy bargain. And thus, the unholy Christmas bargain was born. So for one viewing at this deal of Love Actually with my wife, where I just enjoyed the film and only commented on things that I liked and didn't bag on the movie, she had to give me three viewings of separate Christmas-themed horror films with the same, where she could not be negative about it. She had to be positive. This was the original unholy bargain. Okay. Now,
gotcha.
The bargain would become null and void, but we would still have to finish it. If I made fun of her movie, she could make fun of my movies, but we still had to watch them, right?
Yes.
So that's where things got kind of hairy the first time around. So I had never at this point watched Love Actually, right? And I still am not going to really ever watch it willingly with outside of this holy bargain, unholy bargain. But it's one of the Christmas movies that my wife absolutely enjoys. So we watched it. We snuggled up. It was like, you know, a couple of days before, you know, the actual holiday when we're doing this. And then I have plenty of time to get my horror movies in. And, you know, it's saccharine. It's sweet. There's a bunch of really problematic ways that romance is dealt with in this film that are all issues to me. For sure. Laura Linney gets naked, so that's a bonus. Thank you, movie.
Thank right? you, movie.
I get through the movie with my wife and everything, and I have the absolute correct response where I say that I'll never be able to forgive Alan Rickman for what he did to Emma Thompson in that film.
No. Horrible, horrible man. Right. Good actor. A great person. But
that character,
the movie.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah, that man. Character was not cool.
Right. Absolutely.
It's Emma Thompson. Has Emma Thompson been cheated enough in her real life? I mean, fucking, do they have to do it to her in a movie too?
That's fair. So we get through it. And then for my unholy bargain, I start picking horror movies. And I made it through my bargain of not being forced to, you know, not make fun of the movie. I did a great job. I didn't rip on it or anything like that. Bev doesn't even make it partway through Santa Jaws. She can't.
Come on. Santa Jaws? That's a Christmas classic.
I know. She likes it. Don't get me wrong. She absolutely enjoys it. But she needs to be able to roll her eyes and talk about the things that she doesn't like. She can't not do it. And it was the first movie, right? And she couldn't make it through it. And then there was like I can't remember what the original like Unholy Bargain 3 was, but I know that Santa Jaws was one of them one of the years. And I know that that's the one that she's broken on. But every year I make it through Love Actually without ripping on the movie and only talking about the things like as I enjoy it or making jokes like I would, you know, to enjoy the film. I make it through it every year for her and she can't even make it usually through the first movie that I pick horror movie wise without having some kind of a complaint or breaking her part of the unholy agreement.
Yeah, right.
And the punishment would be if she made fun of the horror movies that I get an extra one. But I've never actually like done that to her. I just basically point out that she's broken the unholy bargain. And then I start immediately ripping on everything I can that I hold back on Love Actually.
That's fair.
I like retroactively just rip into the movie and how bad I think it is.
Just go through it, man. That's fair. She broke the agreement first, so then you can just tear into it. Look what they did to Andrew Lincoln. Look what they did to my boy.
He is literally the worst human being in that, where like he's like,
he's hitting on his friend's brand new wife.
Right, right. And he's like, I've always loved you, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And then he's like, okay, enough now. That's enough. You've told her they made out or whatever. It's like, come on, you scumbag piece of shit.
I know. It's like, Jesus. No, come on, man. You can't do that. That's your friend's wife.
Also,
you're best man of the fucking wedding.
Also, to just kind of go with the unholy bargain, some of the times I've been very nice to my wife and I've picked like Christmas themed horror movies that I knew she would already like the Krampus movie with Adam Scott in it. One year I even gave her, where I chose Gremlins as one of my Christmas themed horror movies, even though we watch that every year together anyway.
You are nice.
She does. She tries to manipulate me and like try and like weasel.
Does she try to honeypot you?
Well, that is one thing that will definitely work.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just about to say.
Yeah. But no.
And I wouldn't blame you. Wives can honeypot their husbands. All right. That's just how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. No. A lot of the times, like, she'll basically try to be like, oh, we should just watch this one as one of your picks. I'm like, well, if you want to watch it, then that's not one of my picks. That's not how that works. It has to be a movie that you're a little unwilling to watch that you'll give a chance as part of the deal, you know. But I'm not knowingly going to pick something that is going to be like, I did pick a movie one year where it was like an All Through the House kind of knockoff, where it was like this killer Santa Claus guy, and it was really kind of a grotesque film and not what I was expecting at all, and I was not enjoying it, and I stopped it and said, this one still counts, you don't have to watch it anymore. I'm not enjoying this myself, but it's still going to count as one of your films because I feel awful at how this turned out. I can't even remember what the name of the film was, but it just definitely was not enjoyable.
It just was definitely bad enough, huh?
Yeah, it was trying to go a little too hard-edged gore horror for us to be able to enjoy it. Like not even
was it
like,
being torture porn?
Kind of. I hate to use that term, but yes, it was getting close to that relative, like just like gross out gore for the sake of gross out gore, and just cruelty for the sake of cruelty, and just kind of like really serious exploitation, which is fine for me to watch on my own, even if I'm not enjoying it, because I'm still going to get through it. But I felt bad for her. So I definitely, that was one that I stopped. I just kind of let her out of the bargain on that one. But there's plenty of Christmas horror films now that we watch on the regular, but I still have to make them quote unquote part of the bargain because she wouldn't watch them otherwise. But she definitely enjoys them and likes them. It's just, they're harder to watch. Like we did Dial Santa Claus or whatever it is, that was like the French version of Home Alone before Home Alone even existed. They made this, where it's a kid fighting a deranged Santa Claus in his giant mansion on Christmas Eve. That's like, you know, this escaped lunatic who's like hurting people. Yeah. And she really enjoyed that. Damn it. I wish I could remember the name of some of these Christmas movies, but I'm tired and I'm high and I can't. So we're not going to get there.
No, I'm not getting it.
Yeah. And I'm really just trying to pad out the show to the full hour before we expand it out with the clips that I didn't edit properly being added back in. But let me see if I can find the Christmas horror film real quick. It is called Better Watch Out is the name of the movie. It's basically a babysitter who is having a gaslit game run on her by the kid that she is babysitting, who is like this super young psychopath. It's a movie that's very difficult for her to watch, and she gets very angry about the kid pulling all these pranks and doing all this shit, manipulating the girl that's babysitting him to try and basically score with her or whatever. But he's just like this total psychopath, and it's a really hard time for her to watch. But Better Watch Out is one that she has definitely enjoyed and will only watch as part of the unholy bargain usually, but she still at least likes it. Another one that we have done from time to time is Rare Exports, and she'll agree to watch that one on that. I'm nice, and occasionally I'll give her like Violent Night or something along those lines, which is the new David, the guy from Stranger Things that plays the sheriff. He plays a Santa Claus, the Saint Nick in that. And she really seems to have dug that one as well. Just kind of various Christmas movies like that. The one thing that I tried one year that definitely didn't work for her was I tried some of the shorter Christmas movies, like the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the stop motion animation and things. And I think those are just too rough and they kind of bothered her. She didn't like them as much. Another one that I love to sort of force her to watch because it's a really good remake of a horror film and it really makes her squirm is the 2006 Black Christmas. I didn't have her watch the 1970 version, the original Black Christmas, with me, but that was a little too slow for her and it wasn't really her taste. And I really, really dig it, so I just kind of watch it on my own every year anyway. But the 2006 Black Christmas is just gory and gross enough and goes into, like, it just digs just deep enough into that sort of what you would call torture porn territory, but doesn't go too far over the edge. And there's like cookies, Christmas cookies baked out of human skin in that, and just some really gross out factor things that are fun.
Jesus.
And yeah, I enjoy it. So
I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a fun remake. I'm not going to hate on it. Just the 2006 one, though, because they made another one a couple years later that I haven't even bothered with yet. But like usually Better Watch Out and the remake of Black Christmas are the two of the three that I pick. And then I'll give her a give me, like I'll pick Violent Night or Krampus or even Gremlins just to make her happy. But we always have to watch Scrooge. That's our main Christmas movie. We got to get it.
Scrooge is always a must for me too in my house. Right. It's just too good not to watch. And then also I got to watch a regular Christmas Carol.
Yeah, I usually watch the George C. Scott one. I like him the most.
Yeah, I don't. I go for one of the really one of the black and white ones.
Oh yeah, the Alistair Sims I think is probably the one that you're talking about. I like the Albert Finney musical one too, because the song "I Hate People" is just my fucking theme song.
Yeah.
All right, so that's Christmas in fucking April for everybody. There we go.
There you go, man.
Yeah, even though these won't be coming out until May, but that's The Unholy Bargain and Love Actually. You brought it up, so there's my story time.
There you go.
All right, with that, we're gonna play the show Housekeeping and take the break here. And immediately following that, from 1972, we'll have the song "Hello, It's Me" from Todd Rundgren right after.
If you've decided you can't get enough of the show and would like to check out more of it, we're available at legionpodcast.com. Just do a quick search for Cinema Psyops or just enter this entire URL into your browser, www.legionpodcast.com/cinema-psyops-podcast. Also available along with all of the fellow Legionnaires on the Legion Discord chat. And now let's give you a rundown of the memes and how you're going to get them through Cinema Psyops. The easiest place to go is to subscribe to our Instagram feed, which is our main meme repository at cinema_psyops, or you could also follow the Facebook page of Cinema Psyops, because they are immediately posted there after they get posted to the Instagram repository. And you can also check out the Facebook group of Cinema Psyops, and the memes are shared there. I am available on Facebook as Court Psyops, because the memes are also shared there as well. Thanks for listening to the show. I still can't believe that you're subscribed to us or here every week just like us.
Fit with sort of how the movie ended up, where the guy regrets not, you know, taking more interest into the girlfriend that wanted to be his wife and have a life with him. Man.
Yeah. Nice stuff.
Yeah, that got really grim. I'm sorry, everybody.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, your song choices today have just been murdering all of us.
I think it's only going to get worse in your episode, right?
Jesus Christ, yeah.
All right.
Where we really just bum out.
Well, while you're out there really dreading how bumming the next week's episode is going to be, enjoy Edgar Winter with the Edgar Winter Group and the song Electric Frankenstein to bring you out of that funk so that you can kick the fuck out of this week and make it your bitch.
What's up?
All right, let me get my clips up and running. And I think I've got it. Okay, 455. All right, I think we are ready to rock and or roll. So let's...
All right.
Let's do that. Let's rock and or roll.
Let's rock and roll. Not or, and. Double it up.
I forgot to do something over here because I need to do it.
Recording in progress.
There we go.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. 3, 2, 1. I need to edit my clips better. That's all fighting.
Hey, yeah, we watched a movie. I don't even know what that sounds like if you didn't watch it.
Butt rape.
Lord, oh my.
That's one. I got that one. I got that one edited out. Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Just a second here. 3, 2, 1. All right, so this is Bo looking for Joe. Bo, or Joe's fiance, or not fiance, lamenting that they're never going to get married because he's a fugitive, and him having an issue with that, and then all the planning that goes in, and then the syndicate comes looking for Bo, and that's kind of like how he escapes them this time, where they just beat him up. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
All right, so 3, 2, 1. The escape scene is cut from to the woman helping the mean mother getting out of the shower. The woman who is helping the mean mother getting out of a shower. 3, 2, 1. All right, I need to redo these edits. No Clip way. 15 needs edited, Court, you dumb fuck.
Be out of your skull. This bitch tricked him and skipped.
All right, just in case I jump out of it. Clip 15 needs edited, you dumb fuck. There's racist dialogue in there.
Like, real racist shit. That was the hard R, man. And it you feel it when you hear it.
Yeah, see why I want to cut those out.
Yeah.
All right, 3, 2, 1. Jesus, I can't even think of it. hang on. Well, silence will cut itself out. Give me a minute here.
All right.
Of course, I have to sign in again.
Of course.
All right, hang on. I got to get the Christmas playlist because it's probably... there really dreading how bumming the next week's episode is going to be, enjoy Edgar Winter with the Edgar Winter Group and the song Electric Frankenstein to bring you out of that funk so that you can kick the fuck out of this week and make it your bitch. You gotta have heard that song before.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It's been in some movies. Yeah, you had to have heard it.
I had to have heard that.
All right, hopefully everybody else out there has heard that as well, but this is the end of this fucking episode.
Recording stopped.